Monks are the pinnacle of discipline and martial technique that test the limits of humanoid capacity. Wizards are the studious researchers of universal truths and the masters of arcane secrets. You put them together and you get a jumbled mess, but with a bit of work, we can turn that mess into a whirling ball of knives that moves faster than humanly possible. So if any of that speaks to you, stick around for today's multi-class video. Monk levels won't add much to a wizard's spellcasting, but a bit of wizardry can be a huge boost to running fast and punching people in the face. You basically run a monk wizard build to run faster than WotC would ever have thought a player could possibly run. With a bit of effort, we can maintain some good DPS while essentially becoming immune to melee attacks, unless our target can also run like the wind. The ability split is going to be a bit upsetting, but we can stack a few wizard and monk abilities together for a truly impressive AC, meaning that even when facing ranged opponents, we'll be nigh impossible to hit. Now, of course, there are some downsides. The biggest issue with a wizard monk build is the ability score split, like I just mentioned. Monks already really need three scores: dexterity, constitution, and wisdom. Wizards add intelligence into the mix, and there just won't be enough points to spare to get all of our scores as high as we would really like them. There's a few rules interactions that are a bit unintuitive in a way that spell attacks interact with monk features like martial arts. We can work through these and still make these class combinations work, but you'll need to be a bit on top of using the character correctly to play without breaking rules or technicalities. Finally, as with any other multi-class character, we're going to be reaching our mid-tier class options a little bit later and not reaching 20th level capstone features at all. This build isn't too bad in this regard, but still expect to have a couple awkward early levels where the synergies haven't really clicked yet and you lag behind your other party members in power. In terms of when the monk wizard actually does start to kick in, we have a couple variations to talk about here today, but each of our builds start with a core of 2 monk levels and 2 wizard levels. This means our monk wizard kicks in around 4th character level with some additional stuff down the line. So let's get into the class features. We've got the one core build here that depends heavily on several core class features. So we're going to go through each of the special abilities that'll factor into it and at least comment on the features that provide us with a bonus. Starting with the significant monk features, we have unarmored defense. Monks get an AC equal to 10 plus their dexterity mod plus their wisdom mod, so long as they're not wearing armor. Wizards are already known for not wearing armor, so this is a pretty easy synergy so long as we can make sure we have a decent dexterity and wisdom. And then we have martial arts, and this is the core defining monk ability that improves our unarmed strikes and allows us to make an unarmed strike as a bonus action. Remember that this is different from Flurry of Blows, and it's basically the default free punch that we can make without spending ki or any other resource. The monk unarmed strike damage die is a 1d4 instead of just a measly 1, and it improves with monk levels to a d6, a d8, and eventually a d10. Next, we have ki, and these are your mystical resources that you spend to fuel most of the monk's abilities. Technically, you gain a number of ki points as shown on a table, but it's basically equal to your monk level starting at 2nd. And starting at 2nd, we get 3 abilities we can spend these monk points on. Starting with Flurry of Blows, this is the one we'll be using most often, and it works exactly like our martial arts bonus action attack. But if we spend a ki point for Flurry of Blows, we make 2 extra unarmed strike attacks instead. There's Patient Defense, which lets us dodge a bonus action at the cost of 1 ki point, which is situational but extremely useful in those situations. And finally, Step of the Wind, which lets us dash or disengage as a bonus action for 1 ki, and also doubles our jumping distance for the turn. Step of the Wind for a free dash is one of the ways we can get to that ludicrous speed I was mentioning earlier. And then we have Unarmored Defense. Very simply, monks get to move faster. When you first gain the feature with your 2nd monk level, it's 10 extra feet of movement and it improves to 15 feet at 6th level, 20 feet at 10th level, 25 feet at 14th level, and 30 feet at 18th level. Just the 10 extra feet is a huge bonus to speed on its own, but you'll see just how high we can stack that as we go on. And then we have Dedicated Weapon. In the optional rules, monks got this new 2nd level feature that lets them turn any weapon into a monk weapon so long as it doesn't have the heavy or special weapon properties. We won't get any particular use out of this, but if we happen to find a particularly nice magic weapon that isn't technically a monk weapon, we can still make use out of it. And then also gained from the optional rules, we have Ki Fueled Attack. Monks gain this ability at 3rd level to spend a ki point not on unarmed strikes, but on another attack with a monk weapon. Usually we're going to be better off with a flurry of blows instead, but there are some situations where one bigger hit will be better than two little ones. And then we have deflect missiles. Starting at third level, we can use a reaction to reduce the damage taken by a projectile by 1d10 plus your monk level plus your dexterity modifier. You only have the one reaction, but it's incredibly handy to essentially negate the odd arrow that flies your way, especially since we plan on being an unreachable melee character. And then with Quicken Healing, gained at 4th level, you can spend 2 key points to heal a number of hit points equal to a roll of your martial arts die, plus your proficiency bonus. It's not a huge amount of healing for the cost, but you regain ki on a short rest, and that healing can come in very handy. And then at 5th level, we have Focused Aim, and with this combat ability, you can increase your attack roll by +2 for every ki point you spend, up to a max of +6. This means every time you're pretty sure you were close to hitting, you can bump it up after the roll to push through and hit. And then at 5th level, we gain Extra Attack. This means that we can make 2 attacks with our primary weapon and make a bonus action unarmed attack using martial arts, or with a ki point, a flurry of blows gives us a total of 4 attacks, 2 with our primary weapon and 2 unarmed strikes. And then also gained at 5th level, we have Stunning Strike. And with Stunning Strike, our fist functions like a sort of save or suck spell at the cost of a ki point when we land a hit. If they fail the save, they'll be stunned until the end of their next turn. Stunned is a pretty nasty condition in 5e and should usually spell doom for whatever you manage to hit with it. And then with our monastic tradition, our core build doesn't need the monk subclass at all, but it can be enhanced by one. We'll go into the variations of the build we can accomplish using different monk archetypes later, mainly using their abilities at level 3. And then gained at 7th level, we have Evasion, and this lets us take half damage from failed dex saves and no damage from past dex saves, and I'm pretty sure I don't have to tell you how useful that can be. And now moving on to our significant wizard features, we of course have spellcasting. We're going for a martial build with a bit of the arcane spice, so we're not going to make use of most of the wizard's massive spell list, and we'll instead be focusing on just a few spells at the early spell levels. Notably, we're going to be taking advantage of the frankly broken sword cantrips, Booming Blade and Green Flame Blade, and we're going to get even more speed using the spell Longstrider. And then with Arcane Recovery, a somewhat underplayed ability unique to wizards, once per short rest you can regain some expanded spell slots. For us, this will essentially just amount to an extra casting of Longstrider. And then we have Arcane Traditions. Wizards pick up their archetype at 2nd level, with most options providing a unique ability alongside a specialization in a specific spell school. For us, there is only one option, and that's Bladesinger. Bladesinger lets us enter a blade song using a bonus action, which lasts for 1 minute. While in this blade song, we get to add our intelligence to our AC, which stacks with unarmed defense, we get yet another 10 feet of extra movement speed, advantage on acrobatics checks, and a bonus to concentration checks equal to our intelligence modifier. You get a number of uses equal to your proficiency bonus as well. And now to talk ability scores, with this class combination, we're in a pretty weird and tough ability score spot, since we care about 4 of them. However, since we're not planning on using our wizard spellcasting for actual damage, we really only need the minimum ability scores for wizard and can mostly play it off like a normal monk. Our primary ability score should be dexterity, since it factors not only into AC but also our attack rolls, and it should be the main place for all of our ability score improvements. Our second highest score should be wisdom, since it factors into our AC, and while it doesn't directly affect our attacks, it will contribute to many of our important monk features. After that, we need to make sure we meet at least the minimum intelligence score for multiclassing with wizard, which is 13. However, I recommend spending the point to push that up to 14, since that'll increase our AC during our blade songs. And finally, any points we have left over should go into constitution, since while we're going to try hard not to get hit, it'll still be nice to have a little buffer there. I'd also recommend going with a human lineage for this build. By putting 1 point into both wisdom and dexterity, we can get the starting ability scores up to where we need them to be, with a strength of 8, a dexterity of 16, a constitution of 10, a wisdom of 16, an intelligence of 14, and a charisma of 8. And if you don't want to go with the human, you can of course go with a tabaxi. They're a pretty great option, and they have the improved speed and their natural claws. So that actually, that's pretty awesome. Maybe go with tabaxi. I'm officially recommending tabaxi. And when it comes to equipment, this is actually pretty simple, since we don't really have any armor proficiencies or anything to really worry about in terms of a shield. If you maxed out dexterity and sort of ignored wisdom, you can also consider making use of mage armor, which may end up being a higher AC and still doesn't count as wearing armor for all of our monk features. For weaponry, we need to stick to one-handed, and specifically we want to use things that can count as monk weapons, which is mostly simple weapons and a sparse selection of martial weapons. I'd probably recommend putting a short sword in each hand and just keeping a spellcasting focus on your person rather than in your hand, since most of our proper spellcasting will happen outside of combat. And when it comes to which class you should start with, the short answer is start with monk. We don't gain any proficiencies at all when we multiclass in wizard, but with our starting ability scores, we'll be fine with monk, but an absolutely terrible wizard. Now let's take a moment to talk about monk wizard feats, as there are some tempting options here. Mobile is pretty simple and provides us with a few pretty good bonuses. We get an additional 10 feet of movement if we need to push our speed up for any more reason. Whenever we dash, we can ignore difficult terrain. If we target somebody with a melee attack, they can't make attacks of opportunity against us for the rest of our turn. And every bit of this is amazing for a little speed demon guy that we're building here. The extra 10 feet should be self-explanatory, giving us even more movement. Dashing is only something we'll need to do if the enemy also has something really serious, but this also allows us to overcome what would be one of the build's weaknesses in difficult terrain. Finally, the crown jewel that makes everything work here is ignoring opportunity attacks. Unless the enemies are stacked up in such a way that you can't single one out, we'll always be able to avoid repercussions when we bolt in and out of combat. Now to briefly touch upon monk wizard spells, we honestly won't be spellcasting that much, but as with many arcane martial builds, we're going to take advantage of the sword cantrips, namely Booming Blade and Green Flame Blade. I'm lumping these two together because they're functionally similar and we're going to be abusing the heck out of both of them a lot. Both of these cantrips use weapon attacks as part of casting the spell. This means we're stacking the extra damage these cantrips do on top of whatever damage we do with our melee attack. Note that this counts as casting a spell rather than taking the attack action, which is unfortunate because both martial arts and flurry of blows only trigger when we take the attack action and make an attack. However, there are going to be many turns where we need to use our bonus action for something else, like activating our blade song or dashing to reach the target. On those occasions, these cantrips allow us to essentially make up for the lost damage. As for the actual effects of these spells, when you hit with green flame, you deal extra fire damage to another target adjacent to them. And when you hit with the booming blade, you force the target to stay still on their next turn or take 1d8 thunder damage if they move. Both spells improve drastically at 5th level, with Green Flame in particular adding 1d8 fire spell to both the initial target of your attack and also to extra adjacent targets. Or, excuse me, one adjacent target. Now with all that out of the way, let's get into the Monk Wizard multi-class build. Now remember, we need 2 Monk levels and 2 Wizard levels, selecting the Bladesinger Wizard archetype. Our starting class needs to be Variant Human and select the Mobile feat. If your DM doesn't allow Variant Humans, or if you want to be somewhat cooler and more original than that, we can instead spend our 4th level ability score increase to pick up Mobile. In any sort of dungeon diving situation or any scenario you think might turn into combat, you'll want the Long Strider spell cast on yourself. Worst case scenario, it's only an action to cast, so you can just start combat off with it. Finally, we just need a couple of regular old short swords in each hand. And so how does this build work? Well, at the start of combat, or right before if you've got the drop on them, we use a bonus action to start our blade song, the final ingredient in our recipe for ultimate speed. We will have 30 feet of base movement, 10 feet of movement from the monk's unarmored defense, 10 feet of movement from the long strider spell, 10 feet of movement from the mobile feat, and 10 feet of movement from our blade song. Without dashing or doing anything else, we've now accomplished 70 feet of base movement, which is frankly quite nuts. 70 feet is a sort of magic number because it allows us to move 35 feet towards an enemy and 35 feet away in the same turn. This means for most, at least humanoid enemies, we can run up, attack them, and then get to a distance that they can't even dream of getting within melee range of. Thanks to the mobile feat, the target of our attacks also can't make attacks of opportunity against us, and we can essentially make runs at them every turn until they die. If 70 feet isn't enough, as a monk, we can dash as a bonus action just by spending a key point, which means we can run a lightning-fast 140 feet in a single turn while still using an attack action, might I add, as for actually dealing damage. On turns where just our movement can reach our target and get away from them, we can make our short sword attack and choose between making another one using our other short sword or spending a key point for a flurry of blows. You don't need a free hand to make an unarmed strike, by the way. For situations where we need to use our bonus action, either for dashing or activating our blade song, we can use our action to instead cast Green Flame Blade or Booming Blade through our sword attack, essentially making up for the lost attacks. Lastly, if they have range or somehow manage to catch up to you, your AC should be pretty healthy thanks to unarmored defense. With +3 in Wisdom and Constitution, we'll have a base AC of 16. But thanks to Bladesong adding our intelligence, hopefully a +2, we get a lovely 18 AC. And as one final fallback, deflect missiles can catch the odd arrow that manages to find you. Now that we've established the core of the build, we can get into some variant paths that you can take as you advance in levels. First, we have Monk Ambulance. This one is pretty simple. By taking the Way of Mercy, we take our speed demon and turn them into a one-man healthcare delivery system. The Way of Mercy provides the ability to turn our key points into healing, not a ton, but enough to pop somebody back from zero, certainly, with a touch. Normally, the big limitation here is proximity to your downed ally, but with a potential 140 feet of movement, I don't think that's going to really be a problem, as you could probably get them from a whole city block away. Next, we have the Speedy Drunk. No, I did not name this one. We can get even faster using the power of booze. By taking the Way of the Drunken Master, we gain a few bonuses whenever we use our Flurry of Blows. When we flurry, we get to take the disengage action for free, which means that even when the enemy is grouped up, we can still run away scot-free. Whenever we flurry, we also get 10 extra feet of movement. That stacks our base movement all the way up to 80 feet. Sadly, since flurrying uses our bonus action, we won't be able to dash for the full 160, at least while also making an attack. But the extra movement may well be worth a drink or two. And then we have the Supersonic Dragon, which is one last way we can take advantage of all this movement by taking the Way of the Ascendant Dragon. This will take a bit longer to kick in since the feature we really care about is at the 6-month level, but hey, in the meantime, we get to play around with some draconic breath weapons and alternate damage types. The trick here is the 6th-level feature, Wings Unfurled, which lets us sprout spectral draconic wings already, so freaking cool, whenever we use the Step of the Wind, the key dashing feature. These magical dragon wings only last for a turn, but they grant us a flying speed equal to our walking speed, and our walking speed, if you haven't noticed, is quite fast. This supersonic dragon dash basically lets us do all of our previously established speedy nonsense, but while flying, which means you'll be able to threaten enemies over in the next area code if you really want to, or at very least just ones that are up on a ledge. So I had a friend at my table play a version of this multi-class, and their character essentially turned out like Donnie Yen's character from Rogue One. I don't remember the name of his character, but I'm sure someone that's going to be in this comment section does know, and please tell me. Thank you guys so much for watching. I really appreciate it. Be sure to like and subscribe. We're putting out new multi-class guides all the time, as well as other content. Go see what we're up to over on skullsplitterdice.com. Check us out on Instagram. And if you plan on building this multi-class, or if you have had run-ins with a character that fits this multi-class, I would love to hear all about them down in the comments. My name is Patrick Ferguson from Skullsplitter Dice, and until next time, farewell.